Bars, apartment hunting, and sending out your demo. He's here to make sure you don't break the bank. Welcome to the Starving Artist Podcast with your host, Johnny Sanford.
Thank you very much for joining us for the third podcast for Starving Artist Guide. I'd like to thank Sean Keneally for donating his voice for our new intro. I realized recently that I had taken that call song from the great Alex Jones, who uses it on his Sunday show, and I had to switch it over to Mr. Mos Def, who's been kind enough to give us his dedication to Brooklyn for us. That is a great show. If you ever get the chance, you can get him on podcast for free as well. So it's a great show. He goes over the real news that you're not getting every day. So we got a big show today. It's going to do a solo show. We got a few things. I want to get into guerrilla marketing, some successful ways that I've used to get some of my things heard, seen, bought, etc. There's a couple different ways that I've developed little tricks that I hope that you can use and maybe even work on, make your own little variations of. We're also going to go over a news article that I found recently in the Metro newspaper this weekend. Let me go over that right now. Let's see here. It says, study, middle class drop. Think tank says cost of living, flat pay behind growing flight from New York City. Last August, Jeff Gordon left his cramped shared apartment on the Upper East Side and joined what a Manhattan think tank sees as a growing exodus of educated middle class folk fleeing the city's high cost of living and stagnant wages. Gordon, 27, and his fiancée are in Philadelphia. They have a backyard and cheaper rent. Now, let me just tell you, you do not need to move to all the way out to Philadelphia to have a backyard and cheaper rent. I have a backyard and much cheaper rent. Right now, I pay about $300 to split a room in Brooklyn, and I'm 40 minutes from the greatest city in the world via the express N train. And it's a wonderful, safe location. I'm two blocks from the ocean. There's a bike path. So if you're thinking, if you move to New York City and you're living in Manhattan, but the rent is too high, you don't need to, you know, decide on a whole different city. Because I've been to Philly. It sucks. No, I'm just kidding. It doesn't suck. It's just more... it's plain. It's boring. Let me continue. A report for the Center for an Urban Future found 151,441 people skipped town in 2006, headed to places like Philly, Charlotte, and Atlanta, which welcomed double and triple the number of New Yorker transplants than in 2000. The city's middle class is getting squeezed by an accumulation of high costs like milk prices and rank fifth in the country, and taxes 50% higher than most other cities. Rents at a citywide average of $2,801 last year. Wow, that's incredible. I can't believe that people are actually paying that. And as an artist, you probably don't have that money for a month. $2,801. Some people may leave, Mayor Bloomberg said Thursday, but more middle-class people are coming and, quote-unquote, bringing new vision, new entrepreneurship. This guy is off the charts, corrupt, he is ridiculous. And now he wants, I read another article where he won't say that he's running again for mayor. It's kind of obvious when you change the law that you want to run again for mayor. I'm going to urge all Starving Artist Guide listeners to not vote for Mayor Bloomberg. He's a billionaire and an idiot, and he wants to have this power trip of running New York City. Let me continue, though. The Senate's report warned that of the 10 occupations expected to do the most hiring in the next 5 years, only two offer yearly salaries greater than $28,000. As for Gordon, a finance worker, despite the rent, he misses New York. It sounds snotty, and everyone in Manhattan had interesting backgrounds. And in Philadelphia, that's the exception, not the rule. I'm going to agree with Mr. Gordon. Everyone here does have a reason for being here. Everyone has motives, and that's one of those positive-negative things. Everyone is here, and they're doing it for themselves. So that was just a nice article, I thought, related to starving artists in New York City. Mayor Bloomberg, he's an idiot. Okay, so I want to thank Sean Keneally for joining me the last broadcast. And I realized that when he got to play some songs, that I haven't even played anyone any of my songs. So you guys don't even see how I could even be doing this podcast. So I'm going to play a little song back from 2003 when I was in a band with Sean. The band was called Solace. The Dream died, but this song was taken from it. It's called Nails. All right. That was Nails. The band was Soulless. The year was 2003. That was great. We actually got to go into a recording studio and pretend to be rock stars for a little while. And it was a great time in my life. Still look back at it with fond memories. So, we're going to go into guerrilla marketing, which is it's a way to get people's attention to your stuff for the least amount of money possible. Basically, you can use any kind of canvas, really. I do it on subways. There's a way you can do it with newspapers that I'm going to go into in a second. But anywhere that people are looking, they're going to be bored. If they're on the subway and they don't have anything to read, they'll look up at the ceiling and they'll look at all the advertisements. And that's all subliminal advertisements sometimes. And what you can do is you can add your own slant on that. One of the ways which I've coined the Village Voice trick, which you can read about this in detail on startingartistguide.com, is to go to your local newsstand or wherever. Usually they have these little boxes anywhere around New York City that you can get Village Voices, The Onion, like I was saying, the Metro, New York Press, and there's other ones. I mean, Gotham Writer, if you're a writer. And what you have to do is kind of cater to who you think your audience would be. So, as a musician, I would tend to consider my audience as probably the Village Voice, because they're kind of alternative press, and I don't know, it just seems like the right fit. Maybe New York Press too, but they're kind of the punk bent, and I'm not really into that vibe so much, but I don't know. Maybe I'll try one day. But I guess the most important thing is to have one of these little newsstand thingies, news boxes, right next to your house, so that you can go there covertly, grab about 25 or 30 of them, take them home, put whatever flyer or whatever you have, what you want to get out to people, put one in each newspaper, and then bring it back the next morning. And if you have, say, a show coming up, you can easily just do that and take them from the nearest one to your house, so you don't look like a weirdo carrying around a big thing of newspapers, but take it home, and then the next morning on your way to work, if you live where you're going to be playing, you can go to one, put them in your book bag, and go to the one that's closest to the bar, club, whatever. And then the next 50 people who are also getting that newspaper are also going to get your little flyer. And they're going to say, oh, this is a great looking flyer, and I want to go there on Saturday night and pay this guy $10 to hear him play. And there's variations that you can do, but again, a lot of it has to do with presentation. And if it's just a piece of paper, people are going to be unimpressed. So I'm going to recommend a website that you can go get really cheap flyers, business cards, and you name it. They'll pretty much print it. And that is Vistaprint.com. And I've done some flyers through them. They're pretty cool. And the great thing is they're cheap. In fact, I mean, they claim it's free. You do have to pay shipping and handling. And if you do it far enough in advance, you can pay about $6 for 100 flyers. And they claim 21 days, but they actually get it out quicker than that. But if it's like the next day, you can expedite the process and they'll send it to you in like 2 days for like, I don't know, extra $10. I think it was like $20 total if you wanted them the next day. So that's a nice little way. And they also will print out business cards for you for pretty cheap. So I'd recommend that website, Vistaprint.com. But you can do these things on your own. All you got to do is go down to Staples. I did this very recently. I went down to Staples and I got a pack of, you make your own, you print your own business cards. And this is another way of guerrilla marketing is how I've been doing it. I've been promoting this podcast and the website. And this is kind of ingenious if I do say so myself. I've been going to, on the, I print out about 25 or 30 business cards, and one side it has like a really kind of like dickish thing to say, like, are you lost? And then on the other side it'll be like, well, if you're a starving artist, here's a place to get free open bar, find a really cheap apartment, and sell your demo, or send where to send your demo out. And I feel like that, let me actually read verbatim what it says on the card, because I'm making myself look like a fool, because this doesn't even sound that good. One of them says, think you know this city? You have no idea. For info about free open bars, where to send your manuscript, how to get signed, how to find a cheap apartment, and more. And on the other side it says, starvingartistguide.com. And, I think it's pretty catchy. That's one thing you're going to have to do. Make it catchy. You got to get people's attention. And what I'll do is I'll put the side that says, think you know this city? You have no idea. Right on the subway map in all the train cars that I get to. And I just do a couple a day. But I have seen a significant amount of traffic coming to the website just because I think people are just taking them out. And they're saying, yeah, I am lost. Or, yeah, I thought I knew this city. This guy thinks he knows it better. Let me check it out. So, it's definitely helping out. And the thing about this podcast, I'm doing this free of charge. I'm doing it. Everything is free because I want people to have the information. And it's fun. I mean, I like sitting down here on a Sunday, drinking a cup of coffee and talking about the stuff that I like and how I'm doing it. So, with that said, we're going to go into a little guerrilla radio. So, enjoy, and we'll see you on the other side of this break.
sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
All right, we're back. That was Rage Against the Machine. Guerrilla Radio, since we're talking about guerrilla marketing, guerrilla tactics. Let me just go into a quick, just, I don't know, I used that, one of my business cards last night. Just to try to get into a club. And it was kind of a funny situation, but one of the beautiful things about being able to make your own business cards is you don't necessarily have to have one. You can have 5 or 10 based on where you are, what you're doing. You know, you're not going to give a prospective boss your creativity card, as I call it. You're going to say, oh yeah, tutor, John Sanford, tutor. But when you're meeting people, and people want an interesting person to talk to, not a boring one, so give them one that says, like, Badass MF. Johnny Sanford. And you can use Avery.com. If the ones that they sell at Staples are Avery brand, and it's a really easy way to... they have a really intuitive website where you can go on and make your own card. And you can make many. And use it as a business tool. Use it as a way to not only save paper, but get people interested in your idea. Because people are bored with the advertising that they see on subways. You can see it in their eyes because they're just glazed over looking at them. But when they see a little thing in the corner of their eye, they're just automatically attracted to it. Just like, I don't know, sharks are attracted to, like, shiny objects on the bottom of the ocean. And that's why you're never still supposed to wear jewelry when you're skin diving or whatever, because you will get eaten by a nice, great white shark. And you are a nice, tasty human being. So, we're going to go into a little about writer's block right now, because I mentioned that I was going to do it, and haven't done it yet. So, I suffered a bout of writer's block myself last year. And, I guess the problem was I was uninspired. So, Henry David Thoreau said, reading is for the uninspired. And my friend told me this, and I'm like, what? That doesn't even make sense. Until he kind of, like, explained it to me. But if you were inspired, you would be writing, not reading. You'd be actually actively doing something instead of passively sitting and absorbing other people's work. And it is the artist's guide, or it's the artist's job to inspire. As much as I like enjoy reading a good book, the whole point of it is so that I can absorb something from it and try to translate it into a way that I can tell other people how I feel. So if you ever find yourself randomly inspired by this broadcast, I recommend turning off your iPod or your computer and getting out and drawing or doing whatever. Because that's what it's all about. It's about doing it yourself. And I'm doing it myself so that other people will do it themselves. And it'll be 100th monkey syndrome. Where if enough people get inspired and start doing something, it automatically causes a chain reaction for everyone to start getting out and doing it and making their lives more interesting. Just as I am one of the monkeys that started from other monkeys. Because, well, the whole thing comes back to if there's a community of monkeys out in the wild and one of them learns to use a tool, learns to, like, use a rock to smash a coconut, and then another one will learn just instantly. And then suddenly it becomes like this active consciousness that everyone learns it. Yes, you can smash a coconut with a rock or use a twig as a tool to go get ants. And it will get passed down from generation to generation. I mean, we all stand on the backs of our forefathers. I wouldn't be using this Tascam MR8 or Fostex MR8 if someone hadn't been inspired to design it. And they wouldn't have, and this is a digital multi-track recorder. So before that, there was analog. And someone was inspired from analog. And they said, man, this gotta be, there gotta be an easier way. Because we use all this reel in those machines. I mean, this machine probably cost, if I had this machine in 1970, it'd probably be worth, it cost like $500,000. But now it's $250,000. Because enough monkeys figured it out. And then they, from that, they found out a way to make it affordable and cost effective. And this is 2 or 3 years old, so this isn't even state-of-the-art technology, but I certainly don't take it for granted. Anyways, this whole conversation, or this whole diatribe is supposed to be about writer's block. So, but, I mean, I guess that was the inspiration part. So, when I got a writer's block, there's a couple different ways to try to shake it. The first thing you have to do is find inspiration again. And that can be done by any means. Certain psychotropic drugs. just kidding, Mom, if you're listening. But sometimes you do need to just shake it off by going out, having a good time. Like last night I was kind of feeling down, feeling a little depressed or whatever. And so I went out, had a great time, and now I feel good. Nursing a hangover, as you can probably hear by my voice, but it was a great time, and it was a cheap way, because we just got 40s. That is one of the other starving artist rules. Pre-game, before you go out, get a 40 for $3, and you'll save a lot of bank, and you will have liquid courage. Another way to kind of get rid of writer's block is to find a different outlet. Find a different way. I mean, if you're a writer and you can't write, find something to write about. I mean, when I had my initial writer's block, I considered myself a writer. But as Lewis Black says, if you're not writing, you're not a writer. And that's so true. And, but I did start writing. I started a journal, or I'd continued a journal that I had. And then after I finished the journal, writing a journal is fun, and, I will definitely look back on it. And once you get a full journal, you're like, wow, I accomplished something. But it's blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I did this today. I did that today. What I would recommend, personally, is to create a dream journal. Because not only do I believe that the subconscious is actively trying to get your attention in your dreams, your conscious attention, but it also will give you a more vivid imagination if you start writing them down. Because once your subconscious knows that you are actively trying to peer in the looking glass, it will allow you to. And you will start remembering your dreams. The more you write down what you've done in your dream life, the more vivid and lucid your dreaming becomes. And I set out a goal to become a lucid dreamer, probably in part because of the movie Waking Life. If you haven't seen it, you should definitely see that. That's one of the most incredible, mind-expanding movies you will ever see. Waking Life, directed by Richard Linklater. And that guy is prolific. He went from the After Sunset, or After Sunrise, Before Sunset, to incredibly inspiring, not romantic. I mean, they are romantic, but they are in a way where it doesn't matter if you're a guy or a girl. It's just an inspiring story of finding someone, connecting to someone on a very deep level, and then having to let them go. And every once in a while in your life, you will do that, and it's sad, but it's also beautiful at the same time. That's on an entirely different note, however. So let's go back to writer's block. Another major, major reason for writer's block is television. I think it's the creation of Satan is what television is. It has the power to absolutely make you a lump of flesh on the couch. Essentially, I mean, it's destroying America. Or if it already hasn't. Right now, it's dancing in America's ashes. And it will just kill every ounce of creativity that you have. If you sit there watching VH1, Rock of Love, all that bullshit. And that's exactly what it is. No censorship needed there, because it's true. It is the bane of modern society. And it's not that there aren't good programs, because there are good programs. I love The Daily Show, and I love Colbert Report. I just recently kind of got into The Office, the American version. But that's about it. That's about all I watch from television. Oh yeah, and HBO. Flight of the Conchords is the most incredible series on television. Entourage. But see, as a starting artist, you don't have the money to pay for cable. Or you should be using it, I don't know, to go have fun instead of sit down on a Sunday night to watch Flight of the Conchords. There are ways around this. Obviously, I'm going to tell you, because if you don't know, you don't go. Hulu.com is one of the incredible developments of the internet within the last year. I think it was voted one of Time's best invention of 2008. Because it is one of the best inventions of 2008. Because you can get so many television shows, and you, instead of having to sit through 4 minutes of commercials, you sit through 15 seconds. And usually the commercial is either don't do drugs, don't start forest fires, or like help a community around you. They're all like public ads because the government can only afford that. The government can only afford putting anti-drug ads on Saturday mornings and on Hulu.com. But I really find them kind of entertaining. So even the commercials are fairly entertaining. And you can get The Daily Show and Colbert Report and The Office on Hulu.com. It's completely legal. It was developed by the guy who did Napster, I believe. And now he's trying to get into television on the internet, because I think that's where things are going. I was at Circuit City, which is closing its doors forever, very soon. Another victim of our current economic crisis. And I saw that they have HD tuners that plug directly into your computer. So you can watch TV on your internet now, or on your computer now, without actually connecting to the internet, because it's the same way that television gets broadcast digitally. So you don't even need to be on the internet. So what I would recommend is throwing your television out the window. End of story. You're going to save yourself $360 a year from disconnecting from cable anyways. And you can take that money and put it towards a new guitar or something. Something awesome. And, I've been having terrible trouble, on a side note, with internet connectivity right now. I've been on hold many, many minutes trying to talk to the people on Verizon. Ended up having to switch out my account, cancel an account, restart an account. Then the account didn't go through, so I've been off the internet for a solid 4 days. And it's like pulling teeth right now. I am a child of the internet. I am thoroughly addicted to it. So it's kind of hard right now. But I'm making use of my time by getting ahead on these podcasts. So you'll be hearing this in about 2 weeks. Anywho. Let's get back into the diatribe on writer's block. Conscious dreaming. Getting a lucid dreams are some of the more incredible dreams you'll ever have. These are the ones that you remember, you realize you're dreaming, and you continue the dream, and anything is possible in these dreams. I really feel like it'll open up your world, because you spend half your life asleep anyways. You might as well remember it, right? And you'll see like major symbolism when you continue to keep your dream journal. Major, major symbolism, where you are in life, what your conscious mind is trying to tell you subconsciously, or what your subconscious is trying to tell you consciously. I don't know, one of the two. And you'll really kind of figure yourself out a lot better and understand why you're having writer's block just by keeping a journal on dreams. Man, my voice is down today. It's saying thanks, but no thanks. And actually, Einstein was said to actually have figured out the theory of relativity from his dreams. So even Einstein did it. And a good book about conscious dreaming I found was actually called Conscious Dreaming by Robert Moss. And I got a signed copy in a used bookstore about a year ago. And it really is interesting. I mean, there are certain ways you can get into a conscious dream by using meditation, yoga, drum circles. And that's another way to do it. That's another way to get yourself out of a writing block is if you don't find yourself writing, go for a run, get your bike out, go for a bike ride. That's how I filled my time when I was achieving nothing, sitting on my computer chair waiting for inspiration to strike. I just got outside and realized how beautiful my town is, Brooklyn. And you can also just kind of, you're always going to want to practice what you already have, so keep that in mind. And just get rid of the excess stimulation that you have. One way to not get rid of it is to try to fill the void by going shopping. I feel like so many people, women in particular, not to pick on the opposite sex, but if you're feeling bad or tired or sad, you feel this consumerist need to go shop. And I feel that's very unhealthy. Because that's a product of watching television. You are a product of your environment. So if your environment is hanging out with awesome writers, actors, musicians, you're going to be happy. If you sit around a TV, you're going to feel the pull of consumerism literally rip you off your seat when you're not crying and into Target or into Walmart. And you'll have no idea how you got there. It's a disgusting, disgusting programming that they're doing these days. But I'm a deprogrammer. I am here. If you're here listening to me, congratulations. You will be deprogrammed. Give yourself a year to listen to me, and I will completely take you off your course. I will make you a creative, intellectual force to be reckoned with. And one of the first steps of that is getting down to New York City or California or Los Angeles if you're an actor, yada, yada, yada. Anywhere. London. Get yourself to a major metropolitan area. There are only about four that actually can make you into something that is big. London, Chicago for theater people. New York, LA. I can't really think of any others. Maybe Seattle or Austin, Texas, if you're trying to do the indie folk thing. There are a lot that come out of there. So when you feel the pull, let it pull you. Also, I mean, depression is going to be one of the main reasons to writer's block. And sometimes you just need to sit down and talk to someone. And usually if you open up, other people will open up and tell you their problems, and you'll help them. But you can't really force art. It's a flow, much like the chakra system. If you got in yoga, if you're comfortable in your space, comfortable in your environment, in your own skin, you're going to feel the energy force just flow through you. And, I mean, I've had situations where I'll just get a fragment of a phrase in my head. And it will take shape, and I'll know exactly which chords I need to do. This can be on the subway, wherever. One of the ones that I, for an example, is called Subway Prophets. I just came up with that a couple weeks ago. Subway Prophet. PHR, not profit. But I mean, the double entendre is that I was literally making subway profit. I've been busking on the subway. And that's a good way to get rid of your own, if you're fearful of playing for people. Go play. It's the only way you can do it. Go out to a public spot, like Union Square or Washington Square or whatever, and just start playing. You don't ask for money at first. You don't need to. I mean, what you need to do is let other people hear your music. And I have a story, which I might as well get to. This was last year, and I had just felt this pull, and it was a beautiful day. And you know what? I was like, I'm tired of not playing for people. I'm tired of sitting in my house doing negative thoughts. I'm going to go play. So I grabbed my my guitar case, put on my harmonica, because I've been learning to play harmonica at the same time, and went out the door. It was a Saturday. Sat down in Union Square and started playing. And people would just come by, and they were really friendly when you're out there just doing it. And one of these, this dude, this 6'5" dude, just came over, and he was kind of in a very strange garb. Had a sign that said, like, the 6'5" rapping Jew. And it was awesome. And he started dancing and, like, moving, like, this flow, energy flow of dance. And, he was a shaman. And he was like, and I just kind of let it out when he sat down. And I'm like, man, can you give me any advice? He's like, you're doing it, man. You're just doing it. And that's the first step, to get out your door and start giving what you love to others. And then he did this weird Qigong thing on my hand and suddenly felt better. It was awesome. That was like 6 or 7 months ago. So, and I was just trying to get my EP out, but I hadn't finished it yet. And that really actually kicked me into high gear, and I started making a CD. And now I'm trying to finish a full-length LP that will be available when I play shows. So that was very cool, just seeing the dude. And then he started rapping over some of my songs, and it was just like a beautiful moment. A moment of clarity. And like I would just like chime in and do my verse, and then he would kind of freestyle rap over it. It was incredible. It's an experience that you can't get again. I would have totally missed that experience. Because he was like off. He's like, yeah, I'm going to California. Or he said Nevada. He's like, I'm going to Nevada tomorrow. So I would have never met him. And then I would have just stayed in this stew of angst. So, we're going to get to, speaking of hip hop, some Eye Against Eye by Jedi Mind Tricks. Enjoy. We'll be back for a wrap up and maybe something, what's next in store. Alright, enjoy Eye Against Eye.
Am I historical oracle? I blast metaphorical editorials, educating in my territorial. Get torn, heavily armed with 70 bombs that'll blast divine like the heavenly song. Your men'll be gone if they explore my deepest thought. I beat hearts in two, then ask demons for chalk. I'm dreaming to stalk MCs in the dark. I walk blindfolded, the mind's golden. Watch how you talk. My style is an art. Recognize lyrical purity. All hell breaks loose like I'm all with no security. The dopest vocalist. With my third eye, I focus where I proceed. Flow with the speed of an indie motorist. It's more to this than wasted. Shiny chains and bracelets. I hear tracks, my tongue wait for the brains to blaze it. Amazing, angelic, tell it to your people. Delphi's like the sun, cause we shine with rhymes. The underground is like the moon, you only see us at times. And at times, with light skies, where the stars recline. Jedi mind, outer space, coincide and combine. Delphi's like the sun, cause we shine with rhymes. Underground is like the moon, you only see us at times. And at times, with light skies, where the stars recline. Jedi mind, outer space, coincide and combine. Raw poems, bury your body in catacombs. Rip your soul from your limbs like brims from Jim Jones. In the twilight zone, we disperse cowards, vampires that stalk earth on reverse hours. Night calls, we talk at your facade. My latitude is gone. Darts out my jaws, leave eternal scars. You left breathing out of tube straws by the marksman. Harnessing science for demolishing the charlatan. Raps will make you parallax. My domain has power to block synapses. Side veins, war shots, fight off by the army tight warlocks. Devil's plan is to have you drip in the Clorox. Beast deceiving us, ways devious. Possessing my peace, the walk streets with stolen heat like Prometheus. Elements rushing you back to hell again. Philadelphians, crush your skeleton to fucking gelatin. Philadelphia's like the sun, cause we shine with rhymes. The underground is like the moon, you only see us at times. And at times, with light skies, where the stars recline. Jedi mind, outer space, coincide and combine. Philadelphia's like the sun, cause we shine with rhymes. Underground is like the moon, you only see us at times. And at times, with light skies, where the stars recline. Jedi mind, outer space, coincide and combine.
Don't ever come at me with war. I've severed scores of orators. Rappers fall onto all fours like minotaurs. We Jedi mind and the planetary be forming this. We stay in one. one step above you like a pharmacist. With ominous, detonate the bomb. Heads red, hallucinogenics in Vietnam. I spit a song, create bombs like an Iraqi. Swear on the Bible and then lie to Ecclesiastes.
Assault and battery.
Battle me, that'll be what split you. Store enormous amounts of energy in a crystal weaver would constrict you. The gods are militant. You faggots couldn't go to laugh like you was impotent. You ignorant, your whole clique is splitting high. You step in our law path and face our law rhyme. What?
The sun, cause we shine with rhymes.
The underground is like the moon.
You only see us at times, and at times
for light skies
where the stars recline.
Jedi mind out of space, coincide and combine.
Philadelphia's like the sun, cause we shine with rhymes.
Underground is like the moon.
You only see us at times, and at times
for light skies
where the stars recline.
Jedi mind out of space, coincide and combine.
So that was Eye Against Eye with Jedi Mind Tricks. That was actually introduced. That band was introduced by my friend Stephen Buckley, who was also in Solas. He was the bass player. And I just love that track. Just so raw. Those guys are from Philadelphia. They're an intense group of people. Jedi Mind Trick. So let's just wrap it up. I'm gonna be, I want questions. I want people who have questions, like honest questions. They can be anywhere in the world. If you're planning to come to New York City or any, I mean, go to any make it or break it city. If you're listening to this, you can ask a question or you can tell me a story, how you either made it or are trying to make it. I want to hear it. I want to hear everyone's take on it, because this is not a one-dimensional podcast. I want to hear everyone, anyone that has a story. I want you guys to send it to starvingartistquestions@gmail.com. I haven't made it yet, but I will, and that's where I will get those questions. starvingartistquestions.com. So, since we're talking New York, let's let it go with Bob Dylan's Talkin' New York. All right, join me on the next podcast. I'm going to try to have another guest. Hopefully, I want to get a comedian on here, one of my friends who does improv at UCB Theater. And he recently did a show, and it was awesome. So I'm going to try to get him on here and how he's trying to get it in the door. Some of the stories he has are incredible. So that'll be next week. And all right, enjoy Mr. Bob Dylan talking New York.
Thought I seen some ups and downs till I come into New York town. People going down to the ground, buildings going up to the sky. Wintertime in New York town, the wind blowing the snow around. Walk around with nowhere to go, somebody can freeze right to the bone. I froze right to the bone. New York Times said it was the coldest winter in 17 years. I didn't feel so cold then. Swung on to my old guitar, grabbed hold of a subway car. After rocking, reeling, rolling, riding, I landed up on the downtown side. Greenwich Village. Ended up in one of them coffee houses on the block. I'd get on the stage singing
play Mountain Air, say come back some other day. You sound like a hillbilly. We want folk singers here. I begun to play, blowing my lungs out for a dollar a day. I blowed inside out and upside down. The man there said he loved my sound. He's raving about it. He loved my sound. Dollar a day's worth. After weeks and weeks of hanging around, I finally got a job in New York town. In a bigger place, bigger money too. Even joined a union and paid my dues. Now, a very great man once said that some people rob you with a fountain pen. It don't take too long to find out just what he was talking about. A lot of people don't have much food on their table. But they got a lot of forks and knives. And they gotta cut something. So long, New York. Howdy, East Orange.